You are listening to the TD Experience Podcast Network. And now it's time for the Hotline Blitz. Have you missed us? That is right. Hey, what's up? Hello. You are listening to the TD Experience Podcast Network and the Hotline Blitz. And today we present to you the Hotline Blitz end of season awards show and playoff preview spectacular. As always, I am your host here in Tampa, Florida of 620 WDAE. I am Trey Downey. And as always, my co-host up in Baltimore, Maryland, who is actually wearing, you know, a suspicious hat today as we do this podcast. It's Cliff Kidwell. Cliff, how are you?
What's going on? What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? We are back and we are happy to be back. Like Trey said, I am wearing a hat, and, you know, for the viewers out there can't see us right now, it is a Redskins hat, Trey. It is a Redskins hat, and it's actually burning my scalp a little bit. My father's a huge fan of the Washington Redskins. He's not here right now, but I told him we were back, and he said, well, I had a bet to fulfill with him. At the beginning of the season, ladies and gentlemen, I told him there was no way in ATL double hockey sticks that the Redskins will make it to the playoffs before the Baltimore Ravens did. Well, lo and behold, Ravens have the sixth pick of this year's draft, and the Redskins are in. They're the number four seed, Trey. Number four seed.
That goes to show with winning the division. If it was just seeded based on record, the Redskins would be the sixth seed. So, you know, but I mean, honestly, nobody's saying that they're the worst team that's in the playoffs. Everybody is actually saying the team that is coming to Washington to play that game, the Green Bay Packers, are the worst team in this year's NFL playoffs with how they've been playing. But that's a different story for a different day. Cliff told you he's wearing the Redskins hat. But other than that, since it's our awards spectacular, I want you to imagine, as you're listening to this, me and Cliff in our nicest tuxedos as we present these awards with our bow ties. Cliff has suspenders on, I'm sure. So the awards are going to come a little bit later in the show, as will our playoff preview. We're going to hand out seven different awards: MVP, defensive player, offensive player, offensive rookie, defensive rookie, comeback player, and coach of the year. We're going to hand out all of those later in the show, as well as we are going to dive into the playoffs. This is probably the most wide open playoffs in the history of the NFL. As far as, you know, in both of our young lives, since we've been big fans, there is not a clear favorite in either conference, in my opinion. So we're going to dive into that. We're going to predict this weekend's games, and we're going to take you all the way to the Super Bowl, and we're going to tell you who we think are going to play in the big game. We have a lot better shot of being right here than we did on our big season preview show, which both of us still have one team who we picked in the Super Bowl in the playoffs, Cliff having the Green Bay Packers and myself having the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs, but both of us picked those teams to lose the Super Bowl to the Baltimore Ravens or the Indianapolis Colts, and we both saw how their seasons turned out. So we might have started a jinx here on the Hotline Blitz. But before we get into the awards and the playoff predictions, we're just going to get off right at the top. We're going to start with, you know, could be some sad news, could be some happy news before we get into all the happy stuff, all the awards. We're going to talk first about Cliff. Talked about this when we did our predictions for the future on our Back to the Future episode, that he said a team is definitely going to be playing in LA, and I agreed with him. And as of yesterday, three teams have submitted relocation permits to the NFL: the St. Louis Rams, the Oakland Raiders, and the San Diego Chargers, all of whom have been rumored to go there. And we'll see what happens. Cliff, what do you think? Do you think it's only going to be one team? Do you think two teams are going? I'm pretty sure that it's not going to be all three. One of these teams is at least going to stay in their current market. What do you think's going to happen when all of this shakes out?
Well, it was no surprise, but I will say the one thing that was shocking to me is that the minute apparently an hour before when the bid got open for Los Angeles move, those three teams hopped on to move on. I really do believe that one of the teams for sure. The other two, I'm not too sure on. But one team I will say, Trey, that's going to be leaving is the Chargers. The reason being, They've been doing their farewell goodbyes. They had their last game at San Diego, supposedly. Phillip Rivers coming out to actually win that game, coming out waving to the crowd like he was saying goodbye. Even though in the beginning of the season when Phillip Rivers clearly stated, like, I didn't come back here to play to get moved. But yeah. It seems like, you know, everything that's been going on, it seems like they're going to be they're the number one team to move. They're the number one candidate. They have the fan base to move. They were, I believe, the Los Angeles Chargers before.
The other two teams are former LA teams. But they are, out of the three teams, they are the closest to LA. They're about 2 hours south of Los Angeles. So, I mean, that move makes the most sense. But I'll differ with you a little bit on the team that I think necessarily is a full slam dunk to go to LA. The team that I think, no matter what happens, is going to be one of the teams in LA is the Raiders. St. Louis, I think if any team gets left out and one doesn't go to LA, I think it's going to be the Rams, simply because of the fact that out of those three, that's the biggest market. San Diego and LA are very similar markets. And if you look at Oakland, San Francisco, very close. The 49ers are already there, so the NFL isn't losing that market. St. Louis, one of the best sports towns in the country, with the Blues, with the St. Louis Cardinals. And they have also recently submitted a bid to build a new stadium for the Rams in St. Louis. And there is also a big uprising of people trying to keep the team in San Diego for the Chargers as well. But if I did have to predict, I think that it's going to end up being the Raiders and the Chargers both moving to LA.
And sharing
a stadium. I think that it's definitely going to be two teams, just like we have in New York with the Giants and the Jets. This one's going to be interesting, especially if it's the Raiders and the Chargers, because they play each other twice in the season, and they're going to be in the same division. So that's going to be an extreme rivalry in LA with the Raiders and the Chargers. And I think that that's the best scenario for the NFL, because I don't think you want to lose the St. Louis market. I think the Chargers and the Raiders are the teams that are going to end up there. If only one team ends up in LA, though, I think it's the Raiders. I think the Raiders are the biggest slam dunk to end up in LA, but I do think the Chargers go there as well. That's my prediction on the outcome, simply because I kind of have a soft spot for St. Louis. I love that town as a sports town, and I would hate to see them lose the Rams.
They're football towns, right? Very good football.
And I think out of the three teams, if you want to talk about, you know, when Houston lost the Oilers and stuff like that, there's always, and even Charlotte recently in the NBA when they lost the Hornets to New Orleans, there's a big, you know, a big movement to get a team back. And I think if something like that happens, I don't know if a team moves, if the Raiders move or the Chargers move, I don't think you're going to see an NFL team in San Diego or in Oakland again. But if the Rams do move, I think that there's a possibility that eventually down the road we could see a team in St. Louis. But like I said, I think they're going to stay. I think we're going to end up Raiders Chargers in LA sharing a stadium.
Well, you know what, Trey? If you think about the two biggest markets out there, it's LA and New York. So I think this will actually add a competition to that. And NFL loves to see revenue. We know that that's why you have that Thursday game.
And they want to put a Super Bowl in L.A.
Yeah, they
that's,
do. They,
that's
they,
a big,
they
that's
really
a big
do.
Part of this.
That's why Levi's Stadium was born, because Levi's Stadium will be hosting a Super Bowl, I believe.
This year.
So this year. So I believe they know, because they tried the cold weather game, which actually turned to be a phenomenal game. So they have two teams there that have a chance to play in the Super Bowl. Revenue will eat that up. The NFL will eat that revenue up, and they will love it. So actually, Trey, you actually maybe believe a little bit. Two teams may be there. I will say this. Me and Trey talked this later in the season. Again, we're glad to be back, Trey. But I remember you bringing up that one team may be moving overseas, but the scheduling may be different. This could open up the gate for other teams to move elsewhere as well. And I think, and I just want to touch this a little bit. I think Jacksonville is actually making that mover, because everybody's suspected to be four teams to actually bid for LA, and Jacksonville being one of them. But Jacksonville said, no, don't worry about it. We don't know that. Cause they played two games in England, not New England, England. So Do you see this actually being an open gate for maybe, you know, teams to move elsewhere, maybe out of the country?
I don't ever think that we're going to see one team full time in London. When we did this, when we did the Back to the Future prediction show, I think what could end up happening is I think next year three or four games are going to be in London again. I think what's going to happen is you are going to have 8 weeks of the season. There is going to be a game between two teams in London. So Wembley Stadium can sell season ticket packages like we do here, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Baltimore Ravens, sell a package of eight games to their fans that they can come see eight home games a year and eight times we're on the road. So there's really only eight games a season in an NFL stadium, except for the Giants and what could possibly happen in LA. I think that's what's going to happen in London. I think it's going to be a variety of teams going over there at different times, but I think the logistics are just too much with a team only getting one bye week, because the NFL already gives teams a bye week every time that they go to London. So it'd be very hard. You can't ask a team to fly across the Atlantic week to week like the Jaguars. The logistics would just be too difficult. But I definitely do see where there's going to be possibly eight regular season games overseas, international series. The NFL has also talked about Mexico City and even Germany as hosting international series games, which I think could definitely happen. But that, feel bad for the people in Oakland, feel bad for the people in San Diego, definitely would feel bad for the people in St. Louis if the Rams leave. But now we've got to talk about some people that and some families that are getting uprooted and some families that might move into better situations. Before we get into the awards, we've got to talk about this very, very interesting NFL coaching scenario, coaching carousel, and all the scenarios that involve. We'll go through the teams that fired the coaches and give you our picks for who we think would be the best candidate to take over that job. But before we get into the teams that did fire their coaches, let's talk about the one who didn't, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. Before the season, if any coach was a lock to lose his job, it looked like last year with Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco, very similar scenario. Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis retains his job. Brian Grigson as the GM stays on as well. A lot of the, I guess, friction between it came out yesterday in reports that that had to do with Pep Hamilton, the offensive coordinator. Pep Hamilton now gone. A lot of the players spoke up and said they wanted Chuck to stay in Indianapolis, and that's what happened. Cliff, what are your thoughts on this, and do you think that this was the correct move going forward?
Well, not only did they bring back Pagano, I think they brought back Grigson.
Yes, they did bring back Grigson as the GM.
Yeah, so I believe that I will quickly say that I believe Irsay came to a census. There's no one better to pick. There's no way they could find somebody to fill in the shoes of what Chuck Pagano has done there. He's been there for a while, even with his cancer research. You know, I think Irsay finally smartened up and said, well, you know, we have to have someone there to implement the team and make sure that they are a good, well-functioning engine. That's exactly what he said, a good, well-functioning engine. I think Irsay did a smart move by bringing both these guys back, and it's going to be looking good for Indianapolis, actually, for long term, Trey. However, one move that I was really shocked by, San Diego Chargers kept Mike McCoy. And as far as what Mike McCoy did for the San Diego Chargers, I thought that he was for sure to be gone. That's one move I want to talk about, the coaching carousel. That's one mistake that I just looked at and was like, wow. So you kept, you know, this coach who is kind of an interim coach, and they made a safe pick trade by keeping Mike McCoy. Now, that may have an indication of them moving, so we may have an indication there you don't want to be moving and to switch coaches, but Mike McCoy had an awful season, especially the talent they had on that team, especially with them getting Melvin Gordon.
He did have this awful season, but this is by far the worst season that he's had in San Diego. Led them to the playoffs, I believe, 2 years ago. We're very close last year again. I believe this is his worst season. This is a similar situation to Pagano. One bad year doesn't define you as an NFL coach. Philip Rivers loves Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy did a lot in turning Phillip Rivers around. And you say what you will about the team's record, Phillip Rivers had one of his best statistical years of his career this year in the NFL. So I think that's why Mike McCoy stays and he gets at least one more year. If they have another season like this next year, especially if they're in LA, I think McCoy's gone. But I think based on you know getting to the playoffs and what he's done, I think that he deserves at least one more year in San Diego or in LA, wherever they are. But now we can get into the teams that did actually make a move, and we'll talk about the one at first, which I think might be the best job that is out there if you're an NFL head coaching candidate, and you know probably the hardest to swallow for fans of that team, and the one that you know might be the most debated, and that's the New York Giants finally departing with Tom Coughlin after so many years, two Super Bowls. It seemed like, you know, every year Coughlin would have a few off years and people would say, this is going to be the last year. This is going to be the last year. And then they win the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
That didn't happen this year. I thought they would win the division with the state of that division. I thought they should have won the division. This was a very rough year, you know, tough for injuries, tough with the whole JPP situation. Victor Cruz didn't end up playing a down for the Giants this season. Cliff, what are your thoughts on Coughlin's tenure in New York, and who do you think would be a good candidate to replace him?
Well, I will say this, though. The tenure at the Giants, it was an easy breakup. It was more of Tom Coughlin resigning than a firing. And it's sad to see him go. However, replacing him – now, one thing Tom Coughlin had put there, it was just like a hard-going attitude. I want to say – now, I know that the Miami Dolphins had a hard break. Just hear me out. Miami Dolphins had a bit. However, what Dan Campbell did to that team, winning the last game of the season against the New England Patriots, puts him as a prime candidate to be a head coach. Miami's not going to make him a head coach. They won't. But the attitude he kind of portrayed there, Trey, I think he would fit perfectly with the Giants. What do you think about that, Trey?
I can't disagree with you more. I think Campbell, you know, is a good motivator, but I don't think he belongs as a head coach in the NFL whatsoever. And I think making him a head coach would be as dumb a move as the 49ers made in making Jim Tomsula their head coach this year. And we also saw how that turned out. I think that there's two candidates you need to watch for in New York. And I'm probably going to mention one of these guys a lot of times in all of these head coaching jobs. Number one, I think, is their offensive coordinator, Bob McAdoo. Eli Manning loves him, has had some of his best seasons the past couple years with McAdoo. And I think it would be tough, you know, to switch things around and go to an entirely new system. But the guy who I think honestly is the prime NFL head coaching candidate this offseason, and whoever gets this guy is going to get the prize of everyone, and that is Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. I think he got a raw deal in Denver. He had a strong record in Denver. He was not a bad coach.
Won a playoff game.
He probably, you know, I guess you could say he was too young to have the job now. He's matured. He's done great things with Tom Brady and that offense, and this year holding it together with, you know, God knows what, as far as pieces go, with all the injuries that they've had on that team. I think Josh McDaniels would be a great fit in New York, and I think that that's the way that they should go. But now we're going to look to a different team, and that is the Philadelphia Eagles. They let go of Chip Kelly before we even got to the last game. So, I mean, Chip, we said before the season, this team is either going to, you know, be great or it's going to go down in flames. And it went down in flames for Chip Kelly. I think he got a little bit of a raw deal because his first two seasons, he was 10-6. And this year, I think they ended up 7-9, I believe. So Chip Kelly doesn't have a losing record as an NFL coach. So all of these people out there saying Chip Kelly has no business being an NFL coach, he should go back to college. Look at all of these NFL coaches who have losing records. Look at Lovie Smith for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who is who is 8-24 in his first 2 years, 2 years with the Bucks. I'd love to have Chip Kelly's 37 wins in here in Tampa Bay. So I think Chip Kelly deserves to get another shot, whether that be in San Francisco or Cleveland or Tennessee, we will see. But, you know, Philly is an interesting situation, and there's a lot of guys that you could go for there. I think, you know, bringing in a fresh offensive mind to completely redo the system, and I like Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator now for Chicago, was previously the offensive coordinator in Denver for Peyton Manning, those great offensive years. Adam Gase is the way I would go in Philadelphia.
You know what, Trey? I'm a lover of Chip Kelly, as I displayed at the beginning of the season. I think he has a mastermind that we just haven't really seen in the NFL. Yes, they figured him out. You can say that too. But Chip Kelly will have another job, and we might know where. I'm not even going to say that. With Tennessee having a vacancy spot, but I digress. I think the best person for this job, Trey, is not actually on the offensive side. I think the offensive side, they can find the offensive coordinator can actually build up, because the offense wasn't a problem. It was the defense. And the number one prime candidate to be a head coach there is someone who I know coaching for the Baltimore Ravens, and that's Terrell Austin. What Terrell Austin has done, unfortunately, the Lions didn't go anywhere this year, but Terrell Austin has reinvented that defense. And we talk about the secondary went from the worst defense in, I think, 2003, becoming to somewhere meetable, understandable defense that the offense couldn't score in certain times. Terrell Austin is the best candidate for them, because me and you both know that Eagles secondary suffers. He's a secondary coach. He's the same coach that took Kerry Williams and made him get a multi-million deal, where everybody scratched their head like, why Seahawks would sign Kerry Williams as a
and now the Redskins signed him for a playoff run. So he
could turn good players into great players. I think Terrell Austin is the best case for that vacancy.
He's scheduled. I don't think he's scheduled to interview for the job, but he's been linked to it. As another interesting candidate is Doug Peterson, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, who was there in Philadelphia when Andy Reid was there. So that's a very interesting candidate there as well. But now we're going to get into the Titans, who their interim head coach, Mike Mularkey, has really not improved. And, you know, there's one interesting name that you could really link here, and I think he's very interesting in San Francisco as well, and that's Chip Kelly. There's a lot of talk that they might keep Mike Mularkey on as the head coach. I don't think that's the way to go. I think with Mariota, if you're going to take a risk, if you can take a risk, you can afford to take a risk in Tennessee, you have Mariota, you put everything behind him. So I think you have to bring Chip Kelly in for an interview, yes, see what he has to say, and see if you can pair him back up with Marcus Mariota.
I'm going to give you some key names I wrote down here, Trey, the Titans have. Bishop Sankey, Darrell Green Beckham, and then you have, of course, Marcus Mariota. They have some key players that Chip Kelly can run over there with the Oregon Ducks. So I think this will be a great team that Chip Kelly wouldn't have to move a lot of pieces around like he did with Philadelphia, which didn't work. He has pieces there that would be great for his scheme set of mind, with also a young offensive line, and hopefully they have a pick to actually improve that offensive line. That's the reason why Marcus Mariota got hurt. Yep. I think Chip Kelly is a prime candidate for that position. Now, of course, they made this move a while back with Vince Young, and they hired an offensive coordinator from Texas and didn't pan out. So they could be saying, well, do we do this again? I think Chip Kelly would be a perfect fit there. Of course, you know, Marcus Mariota loves him and trusts him. I think with Dangerous Weapons as a Bishop Sankey, Darrell Green Beckham, and the other wide receiver, Trey, help me out here.
Kendall Hunter.
There you go. Kendall Hunter over there. This team is a great team. And I think Chip Kelly is going to be a great fit there. I think there's nowhere else you would look besides there.
I think Chip Kelly is the prime candidate there. We'll see. But he's reached out to the next team that we're going to talk about, and that's the San Francisco 49ers. Chip Kelly has sent out feelers there. Seems like he really wants to be there, and maybe that's because he wants to rebuild Colin Kaepernick. I think whether you're focused on rebuilding Kaepernick or whether you're going to pick a guy like Jared Goff or Paxton Lynch with your first round pick. I think the 49ers have to bring in an offensive minded guy. And I think two names come to mind with that. And that's Hugh Jackson, the offensive coordinator for Cincinnati, who has done a great job with Andy Dalton the past couple of years. Or if they can, if I don't know how much they would have to give up, but getting Sean Payton away from the Saints, I feel like that would be a big get in San Francisco. Hugh Jackson and Sean Payton are my two guys there. And I think they made the right decision getting rid of Tom Sula after 1 year. I think that was a one-year Band-Aid transitional coach to get away from Harbaugh. So I think that they made the right move. You feel bad for the guy only getting 1 year to see what he can do, but I think he's better served as a position coach or a coordinator in the NFL.
I don't feel bad for Jim Tulsa. I really don't. Blaine Gabbert performed well, lights out. He did well. He did very, very well. But if you're going to make that move, Kaepernick was struggling way before that. Did you wait till your season was over, or did you wait to be told by the upper GMs, hey, you got to – they need a coach like Hugh Jackson there, and I agree with you 100%, that that's what's going to go there, that says that's not scared of making moves and sticking to them. I think Jim Tulsa wasn't that kind of guy. If you're going to move to Blaine Gabbert, and they did get him, then move right away, then why have Kaepernick pretty much in your season and say, you know what, then put Blaine Gabbert in, who was not a good quarterback in himself, but he did perform well. I think Hugh Jackson's the best move there. I don't think Jim Tulsa should be ever coach head coach ever again. You're absolutely right. He deserves a position coach, and that's where they would stay.
Now we're going to get into a team here in the state of Florida, and that's the Miami Dolphins. Very interesting things going on there with Mike Shanahan, former Redskins and Broncos coach, already coming in for a second interview. I think that would be a horrible move. Another guy that they're bringing in for an interview that's a very interesting name to me is former Falcons coach Mike Smith, who had some very good years in Atlanta. He's a defensive mind. And I know a lot of people are talking about they should get somebody in there who's going to do great things for Ryan Tannehill. With the weapons that they have on the defensive side of the ball here, I think you'd be best served bringing in a defensive coach. And I think the top two candidates that you can do for this job, I think you look at Mike Smith, and I think you can look at, you mentioned him before, Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator of the Lions. I think those are the two top guys that Miami should pick. And if they want to continue in mediocrity, hire Shanahan. I think that would be a horrible decision. His son, Kyle Shanahan, who's done great things in Atlanta.
When did he get his shot?
That would be a better move. And call Dirk Cutter, who's done a great job with Jameis Winston. I'm surprised that I haven't seen anybody out there who's calling Dirk to, you know, get an interview for a head coaching job. Shanahan didn't do great things with Matt Ryan this year, but we saw what happened. Dirk Cutter goes away from Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan goes down. And we saw what has happened with the surge of Jameis Winston and the resurgence of Doug Martin in Tampa Bay. I don't want him to go, being a Bucs fan, but I'm surprised no team has called Dirk for an interview yet. But there's a lot of moving parts in Miami, and I think out of any team, Miami really needs to get this hire right because they got it completely wrong with Joe Philbin.
Right, and Trey, they have a good squad. They really have a good squad. Dolphins fans, I wasn't hard on you all season because I thought you were a bad team. I just think you have a bad quarterback. And who actually has proven to me that he can get the ball out there when he can, and he has the weapons and Landry over there, and Miller, and the tight end they got from the Browns last year. What's his name? Tight end. I can't remember think of his name. But you have a squad over there that you can perform well, and I think they'll make that Mike Shanahan move. So Trey, I hope they get that right. I actually have no idea who they're going to pick, but I just hope they get it right this time.
Now we're going to go into a team that really needs to get it right as well, and that's the Cleveland Browns. You know, I don't know where to go with this, but Manziel's obviously going to be gone. I think you need to bring in somebody here who's going to bring in a complete change of culture into Cleveland. And I think the way that you go to this, I think you go down to the college ranks and you give David Shaw of Stanford a call, and you get David Shaw in there to Cleveland, turn the perception of that entire team around, make it Stanford in Cleveland. They have the number two pick in the draft. If you want to go quarterback, Paxton Lynch and Jared Goff are both going to be right there. You can have your pick of those two guys of who you want to take in there and mold to be your guy. I think that David Shaw of Stanford is the way that they should go. I know they've talked about a lot of the guys on their interview list are defensive guys, but I think you need a guy who's going to, you know, really be the face of that franchise and lead them and turn around the perception of what Cleveland is. And I think David Shaw would be a perfect guy to do that.
I think David Shaw was waiting his coaching call for whatever the Colts did with the Colts actually signed Chuck Pagano. Yeah. And that he didn't get that spot. I think that, you know, his supporting cast around David Shaw is going to tell him, no, don't go to Cleveland. That's where coaches go to die. You know, we saw the Romeo Cornells. You know, this is where coaches go to die. So I think Shaw, like you said, is a great candidate to be an NFL head coach. And we may see that. But I don't think he will fit in Cleveland. As someone who has been around Cleveland for, you know, 17 years, actually, Trey, and following this sport, I don't think a coach is going to fill that. Now, I will say this. Their most intriguing pick was to fill the shoes with New York Mets executive Paul, I can't even say his name right. Paul DePoza, whatever his name is. He's a New York Mets executive. So, you know, I don't know what the Browns are going to do. I thought Hugh Jackson would be a good candidate there, but it looks like he may look elsewhere. Trey, I'm going to leave that one vacant as well as the Dolphins is vacant. I don't know who can go there and will want to play there and actually coach that team.
It's a matter of who really wants to be there. And I think Shaw would be the home run candidate there. I just don't know if he's going to do it. We could be taught when we come back for our Super Bowl preview in a couple weeks, if Sean Payton leaves to go to one of these teams, we could be talking about possibly who's going to take over as head coach in New Orleans as well. So there's still some fluidity in this coaching carousel. But now we're going to get into the real meat of this show. It is now time for the first annual Hotline Blitz Award Show. Like I said at the beginning of the show, imagine Cliff and I in our nicest tuxedos, me with the bow tie, Cliff with the suspenders. And here we go. We're going to get right into it. And the first award that we're going to present today is the Comeback Player of the Year. And the nominees are Larry Fitzgerald of the Arizona Cardinals, great turnaround season. Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings after not playing for an entire year. Doug Martin and his magical resurgence in Tampa Bay in a contract year. And Carson Palmer, also of the Arizona Cardinals, coming off of another horrible knee injury. Cliff, who is your pick? Who is Cliff giving the Comeback Player of the Year award to?
And the award goes to, for Comeback Player of the Year, Carson Palmer, Trey. Performed well, having his second knee surgery and the same knee that tore when he played for the Cincinnati Bengals to come out and perform to give your fabulous Arizona Cardinals a 13-3 record. This game balls out. The award, hands down, goes to Carson Palmer.
I'm going to differ with you in this, and it might be a little bit of the homer in me, but I'm give the Comeback Player of the Year award goes to Doug Martin. And that's just I expected Carson Palmer to come back and do good things. I expected Larry Fitzgerald to come back from an off year. I expected Adrian Peterson to come back because he's done it before. But Doug Martin, I did not expect this from. Doug Martin, all of his jerseys, all of his merchandise was 50% off. And it still is if you go to a store. Doug Martin had that great rookie year and then fell off the face of the earth. A lot of people, when they drafted Charles Sims, he's replacing Doug Martin. Doug Martin is my comeback player of the year, second in the league behind Adrian Peterson for rushing, and nobody could have predicted that. That's why I'm giving the award to Doug Martin. Now we're going to get into the Defensive Rookie of the Year award, and the nominees are Marcus Peters from Kansas City, Quan Alexander, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Leonard Williams, the New York Jets, and Ronald Darby of the Buffalo Bills. Cliff, who are you giving the award to?
Hands down, the award for Defensive Rookie of the Year, Marcus Peters. I mean, Trey, what can I say? Tied the league for 8 interceptions. Performed very, very well. just a shutdown corner in some people's eyes. Did very well, and actually coming off when he got suspended the whole entire year from football in college. To come in and do 8 interceptions just shows you how talented this guy can be and what more he has to show us. Hands down, Marcus Peters was this defensive player of the year, rookie of the year.
I completely agree with you, and I think you could almost put Marcus Peters as a nominee for defensive player of the year, not just defensive rookie of the year. I noticed Marcus Peters' talent in, I believe, the second game of the season when they played Denver. They lost on that Jamal Charles fumble, but I saw that Marcus Peters had it then. Marcus Peters, defensive rookie of the year. Quan Alexander, if he wouldn't have got suspended, could have possibly been up there for the award. Fourth round draft pick, very impressive, but Marcus Peters is the defensive rookie of the year, no questions asked. Now, offensive rookie of the year, this is a very competitive award. The nominees are Jameis Winston of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Todd Gurley of the St. Louis Rams, David Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals, or Amari Cooper of the Oakland Raiders. Cliff, who are you going with on this one?
You know what, Trey? I actually do agree with you on this one. This is kind of a hard pick because it's three candidates in my mind that stick out the most, and that's David Johnson, Jameson, and Todd Gurley. First, great career, great starts. I can't wait to see we have more, but the person I think is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year is Todd Gurley. It's an interesting case with Jameson because Jameson didn't play too bad. Also, David Johnson, who didn't actually play the whole entire season. But Todd Gurley, to suffer a complete tear to come back and I think 7 games in and then to accumulate almost 1,100 yards just shows me what monster he could be. I'm excited for to see what his career is going to play out. Hopefully I will see him in Los Angeles. We'll see. But Todd Gurley, hands down, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
This one's tough for me because I've seen it here in Tampa and I've seen the hope that Jameis Winston has brought to this city when it comes to the future of the football team. He improved as the season went along. That first game against Tennessee was horrible, but he came back and he improved every game. The last 4 games of the season, that kind of brought this down the toilet. Honestly, if the Bucs would have made the playoffs, I think that you easily had to give this award to Jameis. But the reason I'm going to go Gurley on this as well is because if you want to talk about somebody who already could be considered one of the 3 best players at that position in the NFL, you can do that with Gurley. You can't do that with Jameis yet. Todd Gurley is right there with Adrian Peterson as the best running back in the NFL, and that's why I give him this award. We've talked about rookies, but now we're going to talk about the best players on each side of the ball. The offensive player of the year. And the nominees are Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Julio Jones of the Atlanta Falcons, Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings, and Brandon Marshall of the New York Jets. Cliff, who are you going with?
You know what? This is another tough one, Trey, because one mind wants me to say Brown, another one wants to say Julio Jones. What Brown had to go through not having really a good quarterback, losing a quarterback, and with Julio Jones just having a receiver. But the pick I have for the offensive player of the year is hands down Julio Jones. The reason being, Trey, he has performed every single game besides one person who shut him down, who was actually in our picks this year. He had an outstanding year. He performed well, even when hurt. Even though Atlanta Falcons didn't really go anywhere, I think he's the best offensive player in the league right now, Julio Jones, actually beating the throw by Matt Ryan, actually beating the Panthers. I think Julio Jones gets this.
I think you could go either way, Jones or Brown on this award. I'm personally going to go Antonio Brown just because me seeing Julio Jones in person against the Bucs, he kind of went down in production as the season went along. Antonio Brown got stronger. Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger, I think, is unquestioned the best quarterback to wide receiver duo in the NFL. Antonio Brown is the NFL Offensive Player of the Year for me this year. Now we're going to go to the other side of the ball. The Defensive Player of the Year. And the nominees are Josh Norman of the Carolina Panthers, J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans, Aaron Donald of the St. Louis Rams, or Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, from the Arizona Cardinals. Cliff, who are you going with?
Hands down, Josh Norman. I mean, who was this guy coming from out of nowhere? Coming from out of nowhere and then just performing shut down. I mean, let's look at it. Shut down Mike Evans, shut down Julio Jones, shut down Odell Beckham for the most part, got into Odell Beckham's head to create penalties. Game after game, he shut these players down and had a key contribute to actually winning the game for them. I think Josh, his interceptions might not show, but he performed well, and no one could throw on his side.
Josh Norman has had a great year, and he has stepped up and is recognized as one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. Hasn't had an interception for a very long time since that game against Tampa Bay, I believe. But like you said, he got in Odell Beckham's head. He got in Mike Evans' head. Mike Evans getting ejected is how his season ends this past week. But I think, again, the best defensive player in the NFL is J.J. Watt, and he wins this award for me again. He's the defensive MVP. You could even have him as an MVP candidate again. The Texans make the playoffs with, you know, four different starting quarterbacks for the Texans. And J.J. Watt, Mr. Consistency, breaks his hand, plays anyways, leads the league in sacks again with 17 and a half. He's everywhere on the field, and he's going to get his chance to shine in the playoffs. J.J. Watt is the defensive player of the year for me. But now we're going to get to the two big ones, the two biggest awards, the two most highly debated ones. First, we're going to go with Coach of the Year. And the nominees are Ron Rivera of the Carolina Panthers, Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mike Zimmer of the Minnesota Vikings, and Bill Belichick of the New England Patriots. Cliff, who are you going with?
I think we all want to say Bill Belichick, you know, but by default. And he may end up winning this award, considering everything he had gone through. But the two coaches I want to stand out, and I want to pick my one, as Andy Reid and Zimmerman. The reason being is that Andy Reid, to actually have a star player go down and actually win these games, to actually push for a playoff run, and actually a scary playoff run. This is not a team that we're saying that, oh, they just made a wild card, we'll see what they can do. This team is actually scary, very, very scary. But the pick I have, it's going to have to be the Minnesota Vikings. Zimmerman has been a great – I've seen it when he was the coach for – offensive coach for Zimmer. Excuse me as I correct myself. Thank you, Dre. Zimmer has been perfect. I think he had a tough situation last year, continuing this year, to actually win that division and come out on top and actually beating Green Bay at Green Bay at Lambeau. I think that, you know, Zimmer should get this award.
Mike Zimmer has done a great job. Both of us at the beginning of the season picked them to be one of those teams that step up. Bill Belichick's done a great job with all the injuries that they've had. Mike Zimmer getting that team to improve and getting them to the playoffs, done a great job. But I think that the two that you have to decide between in this award are Ron Rivera and Andy Reid. Ron Rivera, the defensive side of the ball, that defense has performed so well, and Ron Rivera is a defensive guy. And that defense is one of the best in the league. The offensive side of the ball literally has no weapons, and they have performed well. He got this team motivated and ready to go with the injury to Kelvin Benjamin in the offseason and losing D'Angelo Williams. And we saw what D'Angelo Williams did in Pittsburgh this year. I think if Carolina had gone undefeated, you have to give this award to Ron Rivera. Absolutely. But I'm giving the award to Andy Reid. Going 1-5, we completely wrote them off. I believe the first game that they had on the winning streak was the game in London against Detroit, and I made that my bet of the week that you should pick against them and go with Detroit in that game. And boy, was I wrong. 10 straight wins for Alex Smith and Andy Reid, and you know that dab from Andy Reid in the locker room after they clinched that playoff berth, that's better than any Peyton Manning dab of all time. And they came very close to winning the division if Denver would have lost one of these last two games. And they're the hottest team in the league coming into the playoffs. And in a year where any team could legitimately win the Super Bowl out of the 12 teams that are there, Andy Reid is my coach of the year. But now, finally, the big one, the NFL MVP. And the nominees are Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers, Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks, Tom Brady of the New England Patriots, or Carson Palmer of the fabulous Arizona Cardinals. Cliff, who are you going with?
You know what, ladies and gentlemen, that's how I do it. Stick your hands up, put the right arm to the right, and just go, bow, do the dab. Cam is going to an MVP. I've made it a clear indication, and I believe when we were talking about this as our future MVPs, that Cam was going to win it. He has performed stellar. If they went 16-0, you can say he's the best QB right now in the league. He's not, but he's the most viable player in the league right now. Cam wins this hands down.
This is a tough one for me because I haven't believed in Cam all year. When you look at the MVP of the league, I don't always just look at who the best player is. It has to be the most valuable player on the team. Carson Palmer, he's been great, but I think Drew Stanton, you know, we saw what happened last year. They still made the playoffs. They lost Carolina in the first round. I don't think Carson Palmer was the most valuable player. Then I look at these top three guys, and I think about where they would be without the quarterback that they have. Tom Brady with Jimmy Garoppolo, I think they still go 7-9, 8-8 maybe. But then without Russell Wilson and without Cam Newton, that's where it gets tricky for me. Russell Wilson has slowly and very quietly brought Seattle to one of the, you know, hottest teams in the league. And Cliff, all season long, you said, Seattle's not making the playoffs. Seattle's not making the playoffs. Seattle's not making the playoffs. And I told you that they would. And Russell Wilson has been the biggest part of that. The defense still ended up having the best scoring defense in the league. Russell Wilson, you know, with Jimmy Graham going down, with, you know, not a healthy Marshawn Lynch all year. But I hate to do it, but there are no weapons on that offensive side of the ball for the Carolina Panthers except for Cam Newton. Without Cam Newton, this team goes 0-16, and they're 15-1. Cam Newton is the MVP of the league, no matter how much it pains me to say it. Those are the awards. The award spectacular is over. We're still going to keep, as we get into the playoff preview spectacular here, we're going to go run through the bracket really quickly before we say goodbye till Super Bowl weekend. Still in the tuxedos, still with the bow tie, still with the suspenders. Great awards, but now we're going to give out the biggest awards that we can give someone, and that is the team who we think is going to go to the Super Bowl. And the playoffs this year, like I said, I think it's the most wide open it's ever been. You could make a case for any of these 12 teams, except for maybe the Packers, or even the Texans, go into the Super Bowl. It's very, very wide open. And Cliff, what we're going to do here, we're going to go through the entire bracket. We're going to start by picking this weekend's games, and then we're going to go through and we're going to say who we think is going to get all the way to the Super Bowl. We're going to go week by week, and we'll go in chronological order with this week. We'll start with Kansas City heading to Houston, 4:30 on Saturday. Cliff, who do you think wins this matchup between Alex Smith and J.J. Watt?
I just think that Andy Reid is going to continue that performance they have had all season. I would say that Houston, you got to give a hand clap to them to actually win the division. We all thought the Eagles was going to win the division. But I think Kansas City has too much more – has a little bit more weapons on the offensive side. I think Kansas City wins this game. How about you, Trey?
I'm going to go Kansas City as well. I think that the biggest story in this is Houston has a great defense, but I think that if they completely shut Kansas City down, they would have a chance to win. But as far as the offensive side of the ball goes, having Brian Hoyer back is big for Houston, but I think DeAndre Hopkins is by far and maybe their only weapon on offense, but Kansas City has Marcus Peters to negate that. So I think Kansas City wins this one, and actually I think they win pretty easily. Now we're going to go into the night game, the primetime game on Saturday night. It's always one of the biggest wild card games of the year. Everybody loves it. Last year, it was the Steelers and the Ravens. Huge, big rivalry game there. And this year, we had another AFC North rivalry game on wild card Saturday night. This year, it's Pittsburgh going to Cincinnati. Cincinnati with A.J. McCarron at quarterback. Who knows if D'Angelo Williams is going to play for the Steelers. So both teams have injury concerns. This is a very tough pick for me because I've been on the Cincinnati bandwagon all season long, but it came out today, just a couple hours before we recorded this podcast, that Andy Dalton is not going to play. If Andy Dalton was going to play, I would pick Cincinnati hands down. It pains me to say Cincinnati is not going to win a playoff game again, but I think the Steelers and Antonio Brown do just enough. I think this is going to be a very close game because I think Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill can get off a little bit on that Steelers defense. But I think that just the fact that Andy Dalton is not playing is what gives Pittsburgh this win, even if they don't have D'Angelo Williams.
I believe we said it in our podcast before that it was said Andy Dalton can't get past the first round. That's what we were waiting to see. Them performing well in the regular season is nothing new, Trey.
We're not even going to get to find out if he could have done it.
Exactly. And he's not even playing this game. And, of course, and this will be Marvin Lewis's last season, they do not get past the first round against the dangerous, heavily, heavily offensive team with all cylinders, without Bell. They don't have Bell, and they might have Williams, but they still are a dangerous team with Bryan and Brown and Wheaton even. I believe the Pittsburgh goes into Cincinnati, Trent, and beats them down. Not a close game. I'm talking about beats them down. Trey, I'm going to take the score right now. It's going to be 35-7.
Wow.
AJ McCarron will have no idea what to do. As what I saw him do with the Ravens, he has no idea what to do. I love AJ McCarron. He was great with Alabama. He's a good quarterback in the future. Some team may need him. He has no idea what's coming to playoff football and when the Steelers come into town.
Just really quickly before we get to the next game, you said this is Marvin Lewis's last season. If they lose this game, you think Cincinnati's going to let Marvin Lewis go?
They're going to fire him. It's been 12 seasons, Dre. 12 seasons. He's been the coach there since Baltimore Ravens won the 2000 Super Bowl. He's been the coach there. And everybody's been saying it's time for him to go. But yet, he's got the bad hand. And I hate to say it, Trey, he has a bad hand here, not having a starting quarterback once again in the playoffs. So, yeah, he has a bad hand dealt. But if they don't surpass, there's no way they win this game. Cincinnati wins. Pittsburgh wins.
We both picked the wild card teams in those games. Now we're going to get to the NFC side. Sunday afternoon, I think it's the most intriguing game of the first round of the playoffs as Seattle heads to Minnesota in a very, very pivotal game. But Teddy Bridgewater is not going to get it done against this team, only throwing for 99 yards passing like he did against the Packers. Seattle is one of the hottest teams in the league, and Marshawn Lynch is coming back for Seattle. Seattle wins this one.
Trey, I'm going to keep it short and simple because my heart hurts. I'm going to say Seattle wins this game. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Just keep going.
All right, now we're going to go into, a game. One of these teams has to advance. Green Bay at Washington. And no, I don't like that. I'm going to say this. But I think Green Bay's so bad right now. I think somehow Washington wins and goes to the second round of the playoffs.
You see the voices, you hear the concern in his voice. I'm going to have the same thing. I think the Redskins are going to win this game. I'm not happy about it, but Redskins win this game. And we can move on now, Trey.
So we completely agreed. So we'll have the same games going into the second round. So in the AFC, we had Pittsburgh and Kansas City advancing. So we'll go with that would make Pittsburgh head to Denver in the second round of the playoffs. Cliff, who would you go with in that matchup?
Who's starting, Trey? Is it going to be Brock or is it going to be Peyton? We don't know.
I think at this stage it's going to be Peyton. I think it has to be Peyton.
Well, he did bring the energy back. Brock had a good game against the Patriots, but he doesn't get it done. And we have to see Peyton back in it. And now actually hopefully healthy. Still, again, it pains me to say, ladies and gentlemen, Pittsburgh is going to go into Mile High and win this game. Oh, I'm about to throw up, Trey.
Please, please don't do that while I'm still seeing you on camera. Just wait a couple more minutes. This one's very tough, and this is going to be offense versus defense. Pittsburgh, I believe, beat them a couple weeks ago, and that's one of the reasons why they're in the playoffs. This is a very tough game. But I'm just going to lean towards Denver. I think Peyton Manning's going to have a little bit more playoff magic in him, and I think that Denver's defense is going to be able to hold Pittsburgh down enough to where Peyton Manning is going to be able to just outscore them and keep the AFC title game in Denver. Now we're going to go to the other game, and that's Kansas City heading to New England. Cliff, who are you going with in that matchup?
I love Andy Reid. I love what you're doing, brother. You've showed that Philadelphia was a mistake to let you go. You've been performing well with Alex Smith, of all people. Alex Smith. And they've been together Trey, you know, getting let go at the same time. They've been together the whole entire time. I love what he done with Macklin, bringing his homer there. Peyton Manning gets a week to recover from, you know, the MRI showing he has a, you know, something wrong going on there. I think that Patriots come down and win this. It's hard to play up there in Peyton Town. I mean, in Brady Town. So Patriots win.
We always usually have when we're going through 16 games, we usually have, you know, we'll look at this and we'll say upset pick of the week. This right here is my upset. Kansas City rides the wave of momentum. A Patriots team with everybody except for Gronk and Brady injured on offense, and Brady's even banged up a little bit. I think Kansas City and Marcus Peters and those guys on Marcus Peters, Justin Houston on defense, Shandarrick West, Travis Kelce, Jeremy Maclin, Alex Smith. I've said it for years that San Francisco would have won that Super Bowl if Alex Smith would have gotten back as the starting quarterback. Kansas City wins and goes to the AFC Championship, Denver, in a rubber match for the AFC title. Now to the NFC side, and also the game of the playoffs might be one of these two games, but we'll start first. We'll start with Washington heading to play Arizona. Cliff, who do you got in that one? I don't think I need to say anything about that one. I'm going to Arizona.
We'll just say Arizona. Let's just say Arizona Seahawks meet in the NFC Championship, because we both know that's going to happen.
So you're going Seattle over Carolina?
Yes. Absolutely, unfortunately.
Well, I don't really hate to say it too, but I think we're going to have I'm going Seattle over Carolina as well, because I think we're going to have – I think the conference championship games, you disagree with me because you picked Pittsburgh over Denver, but I think we're going to have NFC West for the NFC title game and AFC West for the AFC title game. Cliff, I'll go to your AFC title game first. Pittsburgh and New England is who you got in there. That'd be Pittsburgh going to Foxborough to play the Patriots.
My upset pick of the week of the year, Pittsburgh is too hot of a team right now after coming off of winning Cincinnati away, after going into Mile High away, beating the number one seed to play the number two seed Patriots. As you said, I think that Kansas City and Patriots are going to be a tough game. It's not going to be easy for Tom Brady. I think that the teams have figured out what Tom Brady does, and they can lock him down. Tom Brady, for the first time, doesn't have the wide receiver support. He has Gronk. They shut down Gronk. Gronk's still playing hurt, too, as well. I think that going off of that, Pittsburgh goes into Foxborough, which the Ravens have done plenty of times, and beat Patriots at Foxborough, and they go into the Super Bowl. And and I'm not saying it's a fan favorite or a hatred, because you would think that I hate the Steelers more, but I'm going off of what I see on paper, and the Steelers are a hot team right now. They're a hot commodity. If all things hold, the football gods hold, and Keith Roethlisberger is healthy, there's no way. And Trey, I'll say this right now, ladies and gentlemen, I know we're running out of time. We might see appearance, and he said this, of a Le'Veon Bell. Now, I know he got put on IR, so that makes him out for the season, but there was some indication that he could come out of IR for some reason. It was a conspiracy. But I can go over conspiracy theory. We're all going to predictions. I say Pittsburgh goes to the Super Bowl, and Le'Veon Bell comes to play for the Super Bowl.
I don't know if that's possible. I haven't seen that. I'll look it up and figure it out. My AFC title game, Denver and Kansas City. Does Kansas City continue this hot streak? Do they get all the way to the Super Bowl? No. Peyton Manning, one more time with the Denver Broncos, led by that defense. That defense does just enough. Denver goes to the Super Bowl against one of these two teams. We both have it, Arizona and Seattle, a rematch of Week 17, where Seattle absolutely smashed the fabulous Arizona Cardinals. Cliff, do you think Seattle does it again?
Yes, I think we see a repeat. If we're going by your prediction, I think we do see a repeat with Seattle just trampled the Broncos. me and you both picked Seattle and Arizona, but I think Arizona doesn't have the weapons. I think Seahawks are going off a strong streak. Arizona can't keep up, and me and you both love the Fabulous Cardinals. They've done great. I think Bruce Arians is a great coach, but Pete Carroll seems to get it done. Seahawks make it to the Super Bowl. But I want to go on my prediction. Seahawks and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we'll get to what you think is going to win in yours. Seahawks and the Pittsburgh Steelers, we're talking about smash mouth football, ladies and gentlemen. Smash mouth. Trey is rubbing his chest, thinking about it. This right here is what we talk about with football really is, the pinnacle of football is. And it's going to be a close game. I think Seahawks can shut down Pittsburgh's offense. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been saying it all season. I think the Seattle Seahawks win the Super Bowl. The Seattle Seahawks win the Super Bowl of 2015-2016, Trey. Trey, who do you have in your Super Bowl prediction?
I told you, but I'm going to tell you right now. I had Seattle go into the Super Bowl in the offseason. I've been high on Seattle all season long. But it's going to be a revenge game, and it's going to be in Arizona. Going to the Super Bowl to face the Denver Broncos is going to be the fabulous Arizona Cardinals.
Whoa!
They get all the way to the Super Bowl. We set up Carson Palmer against Peyton Manning, one last stand, all of those weapons, that great Arizona offense against that great Denver defense. And when it all comes to a head, Peyton Manning's magic just won't be enough for the Super Bowl 50 champions, the fabulous Arizona Cardinals, hoist the Lombardi Trophy. Chris Johnson able to come back for the Super Bowl. He does it, and Chris Johnson is the Super Bowl MVP. Arizona over Denver, 30-27.
You're picking points now, Dre. You're that confident.
I'm picking points. I'm going Arizona and Denver in the Super Bowl. And that has been it for us. This has been a great award show. Great to be back. Talk coaching carousel, talk LA, talk awards, talk the playoffs. Me and Cliff are both so excited about it.
We're back, Trey.
We're excited to be back. As I promised earlier in the show, we're going to be back for a huge Super Bowl bonanza. Yes. We're going to break down every aspect of the big game, no matter who gets there. And we're also going to talk about some of our favorite Super Bowl commercials from years past, what we like to eat during the Super Bowl. It's just going to be great. It's going to be a Super Bowl podcast, not just Super Bowl. It's going to be a party here on the Hotline Blitz. It's been great. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening all year long. As we've gotten better, our first show that we had to break into two episodes because it was so freaking long when we stayed up till almost like 2 a.m. in the morning doing that season preview podcast, till now where we break down the season. This season has flown by, and
absolutely,
it's been great to be here with you the whole way along. You want to continue to hear my analysis as the playoffs go along, you can check in on weekends on 620 WDAE here in Tampa, Florida, or find it on your iHeartRadio app. Cliff, I'm sure, is going to be posting all over Twitter at Teddy Bear Cliff all throughout the playoffs. Cliff,
absolutely,
say something nice to the people.
Hey, thanks for joining us, guys. We love you guys. We appreciate our support. I want to give a shout out to Juan's Barbershop. I've been sticking with us and asking questions and giving in and filling in. I actually don't have a Facebook post of the day, but we are back. Trey, I love you, brother. We are back. Let's continue doing this, brother.
We are. We're going to be back for the Super Bowl. And as always, he's Cliff. I'm Trey. We're out.